On ktalk.co.za,
on the app,
on DSTV channel 885,
and across the city on 567 AM.
Every Sunday at this time, we are joined live from London by EWN correspondent Gavin Gray for a wrap of the top stories making headlines in the UK and Europe. Morning, Gavin.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Gavin. How are you?
Yes, our clocks have changed today, so not as early as it had been, and we're now only 1 hour behind you, which makes Sunday mornings a little easier on the sleep pattern.
Yes, I can imagine. Absolutely. Well, there's been a lot going on. Europe's leading human rights watchdog has accused the French police of using excessive force during protests against a fiercely contested pension law, and we do know the French do like to protest. Tell us about that.
Yes, the French have had a series of protests across weekends that have been increasingly violent as they try and get the overturning of Emmanuel Macron's laws to increase the pension age from 62 to 64 and for people to have to work longer to get their pensions. It's been got through Parliament without a vote, and that, of course, made it even more controversial for the protesters. And Emmanuel Macron has faced some really severe pressure now, with one or two petrol stations beginning to report running low on fuel because the oil refineries have also had protesters outside as they try and block supplies of fuel getting around the country. And I think that's going to make life very difficult if that carries on, with people getting increasingly frustrated. So today, King Charles was planning a three-day state visit to France. That has been postponed because of the, well, I think really, to be fair, the safety aspect of it. The unions had also threatened to derail the visit had it gone ahead. And now we're getting news from the Council of Europe's Human Rights Commissioner that she said those wishing to gather peacefully had a right to be protected from police brutality, her words, not mine, and attacks by protesters against officers did not justify heavy-handed response. She said that the government in France must respect the right to protest, describing the situation as worrying. Now, I mentioned that tensions are rising in France. There is a tense National Day of Action planned by unions on Tuesday, and they are, well, they seem to be actually pretty resilient. There was talk of fewer people taking part, but it brings the railway system, some flights, schools, the rubbish bin collection, lots of different strikes and individual days of action culminating in these national days of action, making life very difficult, particularly for people in the cities. But there had been this accusation that police were making arbitrary arrests, using unnecessary force when dealing with protesters, and indeed were effectively faced with figures that they may have actually arrested hundreds of people and then released them within 24 hours without charge. And this, again, according to the Council of Europe's Human Rights Commissioner, shows that the arrests are indiscriminate, and that is not something she's willing to accept. Whether France and the French government will listen to this is another matter. But according to the latest figures, on Thursday, the latest day of action, 1.1 million people took to the streets, according to government figures. It was 3.5 million, according to unions. It seems like they could never get anywhere near agreeing a figure.
Sure, that's a lot of people. Gavin, at least 34 migrants from sub-Saharan Africa, including children and babies, are missing off the Tunisian coast after their boat capsized. Can you tell us about that very sad story?
Yes, this is the fifth migrant boat to sink in just 2 days, with seven people confirmed dead so far, 67 missing. And authorities believe the boat was heading for Italy from North Africa. The Tunisian Coast Guard has reportedly stopped 56 boats from leaving the country bound for Italy in the past 2 days. I've just been trying to get the most recent figures for the numbers missing and numbers dead of this most recent tragedy, but news pretty slow to get out of Tunisia with that update. But United Nations information shows that at least 12,000 migrants who arrived in Italy this year left from Tunisia. And that compares with just 1,300 in the same period last year. So it is becoming a new route, it would appear, one that's very popular with people from sub-Sahara Africa desperate to get across to the EU. But it is a problem that is hardly new. It just appears to be the opening up of another route. And speaking on Friday, Italy's far-right Prime Minister Giorgio Meloni said that there may be a migratory wave towards Europe if Tunisia's political and economic situation does not stabilize. And already she has made clear that Italy will not carry on accepting unlimited numbers of migrants. And certainly it is something which has been dominating politics and politicians across the EU now for many years without, it seems, a satisfactory answer.
Of course, those people must be so desperate to take their lives into their own hands to get there the way they do. Very, very sad indeed. A senior wealthy Nigerian politician, his wife and a medical middleman await sentencing. They've been found guilty of an organ trafficking plot. This is a very disturbing story. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, this is the first such case under modern slavery laws here in the UK. So a senator in the Nigerian parliament, Senator Ike Ekweremadu, who's 60, and his wife, and a doctor were convicted of conspiring to exploit a street trader in Lagos and bring him to the UK for his kidney. Now, the reason they were doing that is because the senator's daughter is seriously ill and needs a kidney. Now, in the UK, you can have a kidney transplant, but it must be completely a voluntary thing, and it is a criminal offence if there is a reward of money or other material advantage. And they believe the street trader, who really didn't seem to know what was going on, frankly, was brought to the UK with promise of money, it is said to be about 140,000 South African rand, and promised opportunities and a job in the UK for helping. I only realized what was going on when he met doctors at the hospital. And it was alleged that the defendants had tried to convince the medics in London that he was actually a cousin of their daughter, but that was quite simply not the case. And so this was the first time there'd been this amazing conviction under modern slavery laws. And the couple and the doctor are now awaiting sentencing, will be in the start of May. And the prosecution says the maximum sentence in this organ harvesting case is life imprisonment. But it'll be interesting to see exactly if that is as far as the judge goes.
That'll be very interesting. Definitely something I'll be looking out for. Then gene-edited food, Gavin, can now be developed commercially in England following a change in the law. Can you tell us about that?
Gene editing involves making sort of these very, very precise changes to an organism's DNA, and it does it to enhance certain characteristics. So, for instance, there are people working on making the fruit have less seeds in it, so it's easier to eat, for instance. Now, a new law here in the UK opens the door to the development of gene-edited farm animals, but a further vote by MPs will be required before it goes ahead. Incidentally, if we were still within the EU, we wouldn't be able to relax the rules. It is something that the EU laws do not allow. But gene editing in England has been covered under the same tight regulation that's been restricted by the commercial development of GM, or genetically modified crops, under EU law. And this act, the Precision Breeding Act, only allows genetic changes that could also have been produced naturally or through traditional crossbreeding programs already in use. The difference is that as opposed to waiting many years, many decades for this breeding to take place, it's able to do it very, very quickly. And the new law also allows for the use of gene editing and other methods that may arise in the future, provided the end result is a crop that is no different to a variety that could have been naturally produced. And that is the law that is here. It's one that is pretty controversial, but it is one, they say, that could lead to crops that require less water and producing a better harvest. In other words, all the things that perhaps over the centuries we've been trying to achieve, but taking a long time to try and breed these things naturally between different organisms to produce a better crop, as it were, a crop that's easier to maintain, less susceptible perhaps to disease or to damage and so forth. But again, a very wary subject for some who don't believe it's natural.
And then the next one, we're talking about the funeral of one of the Royal Air Force's last black Second World War veterans is to be moved as large crowds are expected to attend the service. This sounds very interesting. What happened there?
Yes, it was a sad story, but actually
very sad.
Rather amazing.
Yes, so, yes.
A flight sergeant, Peter Brown, who died alone at the age of 96 in London, was due to be buried. Now, as hard as they tried, the organizers of the funeral could not find any living relatives or, frankly, that many friends who were going to attend. So they booked a very ordinary chapel with 140 capacity in Mortlake, southwest London, on Wednesday. They put out a notice saying, look, any, you know, friends and families, put it out on various notices and then put it out on social media. And people picked up on this because Flight Sergeant Peter Brown did have a pretty extraordinary life. He was one of the few black Second World War veterans in the RAF. And he was born in Jamaica in 1926 and enlisted as a volunteer reserve, trained as a wireless operator and air gunner, and was posted to a base in the UK, and after the war ended, he re-enlisted in the RAF working as a signaller. However, he really, at the age of 96, appears to have lost contact with virtually everyone. And it wasn't family that came forward. Instead, on social media, people started to contact the organisers of the funeral and say, I would like to pay my respects to this man, because it cannot have been easy being one of the very few blacks serving with the RAF. It cannot have been easy living that life. He's died alone, poor chap. And now it is thought there could be thousands of people wanting to attend his funeral and give him a good send-off. And consequently now, the council is looking at a new date and a much larger venue as it works with the RAF and the Ministry of Defence to ensure that Mr. Brown deserves the send-off, gets the send-off that he absolutely deserves. And the council is saying that this campaign, which was backed by a newspaper to find his surviving family members, has now turned into a much bigger recognition of the role of Commonwealth personnel who served in the RAF and indeed on the Allied sides during the war.
Well, fantastic that he'll be getting that send-off. Thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Gavin Gray, our EWN correspondent from London.